You are listening to Know You're Crazy. My name is Susan Dene. We all have crazy. What separates us is how we choose to deal with it. I'm going to be delivering engaging and actionable tools to own your crazy, treat your crazy, and turn it into your own superpower. I hope that you walk away from this show feeling the power and strength within you. And never forget to enjoy your journey because you are worth it. Hey everyone, welcome to the Know Your Crazy Show. My name is Susan Dene, and you are listening to Emotional Recovery in the Raw. And today's show is all about communication behaviors, the good and the bad. Healthy or unhealthy relationships, they carry a significant amount of weight regarding our mental and our emotional health. There are good feeling relationship behaviors, and there are bad feeling relationship behaviors. Discovering which behaviors dominate your relationships is an exploration that only you can take. However, getting informed about the type of behaviors, when and how they impact your communications can enhance your relationship experience in a positive way. When and how you communicate is unique to you. Maybe you are defensive at work, but passive at home. Do you switch communication roles dependent on how other people are behaving? Do you switch your communication roles because in certain environments, you are more concerned what somebody thinks about you than in other environments? You know, growing up in a home where we had the disease of alcoholism present, when I think back on that, or can I say when I feel back on that, what I remember is not only the verbal communication, but I remember the dysfunctional behaviors of communication. Today, I'm going to be jumping into what are communication behaviors? What are the uncomfortable communication behaviors, such as the one I just described, that can be inherent in dysfunctional families growing up? But what are also positive communication behaviors? And what is your role in working on those? Or do you even want to work on those? I like to say the universe and the environment in which we choose to live will consistently give us feedback regarding how our behaviors impact the relationships in our life. Now, yes, life is all about us and our journey. However, the journey that we choose to live is much more satisfactory when the relationships in our life complement our life and are not destructing our life. But let's make sure that we're not the one causing destructive behaviors of communication within those relationships and causing harm to others. Sometimes our emotions run crazy and we have to be able to reel those in. You know, according to Wikipedia, because I did some research on this, wanting to know about what's a textbook definition of communication behaviors? And what it says is communicative behaviors refers to people's tendency to express themselves using indirect messaging. Much of our communication, as I'm sure you already know, is nonverbal. It's not just about what I'm saying to you. It's also about my body language. Expression comes across in many different forms. Somebody who might be more inward with withholding verbal communication might be more expressive with their nonverbal cues. Those are the things that I'll be talking about today. Any behavior or even the absence of the behavior may be judged as communicative if it intends to convey a message. So for example, here's a couple different examples of ways in which we communicate that we really wouldn't even probably connect the dots. You know, I believe that often when we have a barrier in our emotional life, in our mental life, it's not always that we intuitively don't know what to do. It's almost as if it hasn't been broken down enough in the language or in some simplicity enough that we can then grasp and resonate with what the, you know, what we need to learn from whatever's being conveyed. And so when I think about different ways in which we express ourselves essentially communicating in nonverbal ways, I find it kind of interesting. But there's like easy stuff like hairstyle. Here's hairstyle for you. What do you think somebody would be saying if suddenly they show up with a shaved head, as once one of my kids did, and they're female? I'm just going to go with female. What is a message that could be conveyed? Perhaps I'm not going to conform to the norms of society. Maybe I'm stepping out. I'm being willing to try something off the wall, in most people's opinions, freedom, all kinds of different things. I had someone mention to me one time that they shaved their head whenever they were going through a life transformation. It was a way to cleanse old energy and let go. I personally get scared of shaving my head. I've thought about it though. What about a particular clothing style? What about those that you see that are expressing themselves in ways that you would just like, there's no way I could ever do that? What is the message they are conveying? My husband and I recently had the opportunity to go to Folklife in Seattle, and I absolutely loved it because it reminded me one of the reasons why I love living in the Puget Sound and living in the Seattle area, because there is an essence of freedom in people being able to express authentically who they are without judgment. I mean, I'm not saying that you're not, you know, you won't always find judgment, but for the most part, there's an opportunity to express yourself and be who you are. And we saw all kinds of dressing up and dressing down, may I say, going on at the Folklife Festival this year. But it was such a fantastic reminder of the freedom that we get sometimes to express ourselves. And usually we're only withholding the expression or withholding our communication when we're in fear of being judged. May I not go off on that tangent too much more? Another thing that we might consider a way of communicating who we are. I mean, isn't that essentially what we're trying to do with our nonverbal cues? What about the car you drive? What is the car that you drive conveying to the world around you? You may not even think about these things, but everything around you and things that you're doing, they are conveying a communication to the outside world. Your intention may not be like, hey, I'm going to go buy this car and I hope it sends this message to the world. That may not be it at all, but your car will say a lot about you. How old the car is, how shiny the car is, how clean the car is, how not clean the car is. Think about what your items in your life actually are communicating to those around you. You know, one of the things that's interesting in how we choose to communicate nonverbally is that it's unique and individual to each one of us. You know, what form of expression we choose to take in order to have a voice or in order to influence somebody may be different for all of us. And so the other thing is that when that communication is different for each of us, what stimulates the communication or the behavior will also be different. You know, I mentioned in the beginning of the show, certain behaviors being raised in an alcoholic home were to somebody coming from the outside that maybe didn't come from that level of impact or that level of negativity within the home might have viewed this as off the wall. But because of the behaviors and how they felt growing up in that environment, later on down the road, what I got to discover was the different stimulus or the different triggers that may happen within my environment that may set off a nonverbal communication. Because being a child of an alcoholic, and I'm sure there's all kinds of different people that suffer from different things growing up, I'm just going with my background because that's all my experiences intimately within. Avoidance would be a big one. If I just avoid and I don't address and I hope and wish that this goes away, or I inner counsel myself to the point where I've now decided that I don't even have a problem because the risk of expressing would be the risk of rejection. The risk of expressing would be the risk of judgment. And so so how would I do that? What would my behaviors within that type of communication would be? Well, it would be the behavior of avoidance. Leave the room. Act as if nothing's going on. Disappear, right? So I'm going to talk about a few more things in which the way in which we communicate, and I'm going to talk about both verbal and nonverbal. Because there's quite a list here. I'm going to keep it short as possible. Regarding verbal, the use of imperatives, you know, how you speak, whether it's everything's essential or you make a direct command, Think about what you're communicating with that particular style of words, a direct communication, a statement of preference, you know, having full clarity in your communication about what you prefer and perhaps expanding on why you prefer it. Another form of communication, nonverbal communication in this case, lack of participation. What is the communication being conveyed when somebody continually doesn't participate? And it's unfortunate when, let's say, we have a good reason for not participating, and yet we don't convey that to those around us. The professional environment's coming up for me, office environment, coworkers is coming up for me. People might have a very good reason for not participating, but the assumption may be different. You know, lack of participation could actually be a problem with shyness, a problem with intimidation. But the individual who continues to not participate may not have the ability to accurately convey that. So everyone else in the environment is left to make assumptions about the person's behavior and then draw their own conclusions. I was talking to my daughter just today, and she was mentioning about training somebody at work. And I think it was the first time she ever trained someone. And she was shocked that the person didn't pick up on things as quickly as she thought they should. And with her permission, I'm going to talk about having someone's permission. What I conveyed was sometimes somebody has so much going on that their behavior isn't what you would expect based on your own experience. You know, you think about a new hire in a new environment, taking in 20 different things. And then in addition to that, you know, the trainer is the first time training. And you think about all the communication or lack of communication that is going on there and being able to effectively still just move forward through that, right? So assumptions can be made based on what we think we're perceiving in somebody's behavior. Another way that we can communicate is overly doing something. You ever get that person? The one that overly does it? The opposite of lack of participation, they're the over-participator. You can't get them to sit down. What message is being conveyed there with them? I don't know, you know, Mr. or Mrs. Helpful, right? Like it's all fine and dandy unless you're wanting to turn at participating. What is the communication that's being conveyed there? I must have a say in something, or I must participate in something. Sometimes it's just good effort, or maybe they have a fear that no one else is going to participate, so they jump in the ring first. So another example of way our behaviors are communicating to those around us. Here's one: isolation when you are home, but there are other people in the home with you. You know, classic teenager stuff. I'm going to shut my door and not communicate with you from about the age of 14, 15, about 17 and a half. And then about 18, I'm going to come back out of my room and say hello. But there's an isolation going on. Now, that might be teenage behavior that I make light of today, but what about when an adult is doing it? What about when an adult is disappearing on the family and not participating routinely in the evening activities with everyone? What is that conveying as far as communication? How is that isolation from everybody else in the household? How is that feeling on the rest of the family? What are they left to wonder? How are you? Why have you disappeared? What are you doing? It'd be nice if they would join us. We miss them. We wish they were, you know, down here for dinner. So we think about our behaviors and how we're communicating or not communicating. And sometimes we've missed the point that we are impacting those around us. We are impacting those around us. And so for today's show, I'm going to go to break. And when I come back, I'm going to start diving into the good and the bad of the behaviors, different things that you can look at, not only for you and how you're showing up, because you know I'm going to go there today with you. You know I am, because it's about self-discovery. Because at the end of the day, the only person that you're in control of is you. And I will add to that, having more understanding or more clarity about potentially how other people's behaviors, how they might be a reason for those, kind of like when I'm describing my upbringing, just to kind of provide some sense of understanding when we don't have understanding, so that we cannot take another person's behaviors personal. I will add to that. It's a way that we can give grace to somebody else when we have a little bit more knowledge behind it. A little bit more perspective is all. All right, so we're going to go to break and I will be back shortly and we will be diving into communication behaviors, the good and the bad of it. Be back shortly. It is time to get inspired to take action in your life. Tune in to Know You're Crazy.
Crazy.
With me, Susan Denae. We are identifying, understanding, and treating our crazy one episode at a time. We all have crazy in our lives. The thing that sets us apart is how we deal with it. And I've got you covered. Enjoy your journey. You are worth it. Visit SusanDenae.com. That's DENEE.com.
Have you been on life's roller coaster trying to figure out what to do next? Then join Greta, Lee, Yvonne in the Realm of Beings each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Shake the dust off your wings and fly to the highest heights in your thoughts and actions. Express your greatness, be a champion for yourself, and we'll see you there on Shifting Impressions Conversations with the Realm of Beings.
Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martinet.
Hi everyone, Dr. Pat here, host of the Dr. Pat Show. For about 20 years, you've heard me talk about silver and the importance of silver. I've been looking upside down and sideways to find silver that was the highest quality, and I think I've found it. No, actually, I know I found it. I discovered this in my own healing journey, and that's what we used for me. AmioLife has the most advanced silver available today. All things that harm our health is what it takes care of. Now, I thought I'd seen it all because I've been on this journey for 20 years with silver, but I've not quite found anything like AmioLife. The folks and our friends at AmioLife have put together a special discount for your first purchase of 20% off. AmioLife.com, AmioLife.com. Remember to give them a call. Tell them Dr. Pat sent you at 1-800-422-8148. I've already sent it to my naturopath.
What are you connected to? Or what are you disconnected from? Tune into The Connected Conversation with Brett Hill on TTRLive.com and learn how to avoid unnecessary suffering and activate your mind-body connection. Step into a life that works for you. Flourish and express our natural creativity and exuberance as you learn how to look deep within and find your natural allies and connect authentically with yourself, others, and the world. To learn more, visit theconnectedconversation.com.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Know You're Crazy Show. My name is Susan Denae, and you are listening to Emotional Recovery in the Raw. Today's topic, communication behaviors, the good and the bad of it. If you join me for the first part of the show, I was simply giving examples of different types of communication behaviors, both verbal and nonverbal, especially right before we went to break, understanding our own behaviors and how we communicate. I gave some feedback on even how you dress and how you do your hair and what you drive is communicating to the world something about you. All of us within us, I believe, are creative beings. We are looking for a way to express. We are expressing ourselves all over the place. And sometimes we don't even realize we're doing it. But what happens when that expression or that inability to become intimate with our emotional frustrations, or even our intimacy with joyful experiences within our relationships, what happens when we don't know how to do that, or we become blind to how we show up in those relationships. We might think we know. Are you one of those? Like, you think you know. You think you know how you show up. I think I know how I show up. Then, right when I get a little hoity-toity about knowing, the universe has its way, or the relationships in my life have a way of delivering some feedback to me, where I might have to look at a few things of my behavior and how I'm communicating and impacting those around me may not be as ideal as I thought. Before I went to break, I covered a few different ways in which we communicate, both verbal and nonverbal. I mentioned the use of imperatives, you know, being very direct communicators, making things with a statement. I mentioned someone who can communicate with a statement of preference, you know, being very, once again, clarity around what they prefer. Nonverbal communications might be lack of participation, literally not including ourselves or not stepping up and participating. I was mentioning the professional environment, what that can be conveying to your coworkers. Overly doing something, what that conveys to those around you, not being able to not participate. Are you the overdoer? What is that behavior signaling to those around you? And that's kind of where I'm going to take this next segment as I go into the impact of behaviors and how we're affecting those around us. There's the person, and then there's the behavior. Like, I can love my family, and let's just say I can love my spouse, but I can be really frustrated by this one particular behavior. And have I addressed the behavior, or have I verbally shamed or expressed some type of disappointment where the spouse may think that they are a bad person, but it's really me trying to address the behavior. I just haven't quite understood how to do that yet. That is why I'm doing the show today. An individual's behavior style significantly affects how they verbally or non-verbally communicate with those around you. And I'm hoping that by the end of the show today that you're going to have more clarity around what your individual behavior style is concerning your relationships. Discovering what that behavioral style is does require high levels of self-awareness and an ability to be honest with oneself. You've heard me say this many, many times. Sometimes we think we're being honest with ourselves, but until we have developed the courage to ask for somebody's feedback, we might be misguided. If you are someone in your life, if you and your within your life, it has been a while since you've reached out and talked to somebody about anything that you've got going on, then you must ask yourself, I wonder if my self-accuracy, if my self-perception is accurate about the way I've been showing up. If you are somebody who's been suffering, because anything less than joy has a certain level of suffering that goes along with it. I'm not talking about, I don't know, I hate to get into pinpointing different levels of suffering, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm here to experience joy and happiness. And whenever I'm not in complete joy and happiness, there's probably a little bit of suffering going on, maybe just a little bit of uncomfortableness going on. I mean, I have to be willing to admit that to myself. So if I've had any of that going on, or if life has handed you a buttload of problems all within a short span of time, or maybe even a long span of time, and you've never bounced anything off of anyone, I highly encourage you to find that person. And the person who can do their best to have an unbiased feedback to you to help you unload some of that so you can gain new perceptions. Because until we gain a new perception, our behaviors will stay the same. Until we open up enough to get feedback, what stimulates some of our behaviors really has a harder time finding solution to it. What are some different behaviors that we might experience? How do our stimulus differ? Let's just say you're at home and you're living, or maybe even working. You know, one behavior may be somebody who's super tidy and everything's in place, and another behavior may be everything's a mess and this is the way, you know, this is the way I work, or this is the way I live. Both of those behaviors are going to be communicating something. And so you are ultimately responsible for the behaviors that you're communicating. Another way of communicating within different styles, let's say it's in relationship. You know, what are you conveying to your relationships with your boundaries? You know, are you doing behavioral boundaries, which is simply I'm minimizing my communication with somebody. I'm not sending as many text messages to this person. I'm not picking up the phone as many times as I normally would with this person. Or are you verbally setting boundaries with individuals and allowing them to know what you're going to do and why you're going to do it? And you know, what is your style? How are you with your behaviors around this? I remember, as I use my past as an example, different behaviors growing up in my home, my mom had this way of rolling her eyes and then making this sound. I don't even think I can do it on air. It's like a and it was like, as soon as you heard the sound, you knew mom was disappointed. And you knew like the energy in the room kind of felt heavy and everything was off, or she'd roll her eyes and you knew she wouldn't come right out and say something to you. She would just kind of convey in her way that there was disappointment, irritation, anger going on, and growing up around that. And I will also say, if you're an adult who has some of this going on, oh, we're going to be diving into the different behavior patterns here in a minute. But imagine the people who are around that type of behavior, what they are left once again to try to put the pieces to the puzzle together to find out, did I do something to cause that behavior? Is there something I can change in the environment so they don't feel frustrated? Where do I need to move me? Where does my behavior, you know, how do I need to act in order to stop that? A lot of us grew up with that. You might be working with that right now. You might have a coworker who's good at temper tantrums, but not conveying their frustration because they've yet to become skilled, is what I will say, in connecting the dots with their behavior or learning how to channel frustration so that it doesn't take it out on the rest of the relationships around them. So anyway, this was another behavior I wrote down on my notes. My dog, Apollo, my little Yorkie, we call it, he's got torture by bark. He will stand in a particular area and just randomly bark, but he won't stop. I think, God, you think about animals and their behaviors. What are they trying to convey? But, you know, do you have, you know, somebody in your world who's a nonstop barker, but they don't do it all the time just enough that it's irritating? That might be one that comes up for you. All right. So let's get down to, I'm going to get down to it now. What is the bad of it? When I was doing the research for the show and I was looking into communication behaviors and I was looking up different things, whenever the word behavior comes up, the research, the blogs, all of it goes back to negativity. I mean, it's kind of funny. And when I look, when I list out these behaviors for you, these different styles of behavior, there's like one positive out of the four behaviors. So as I go through what's the bad of it, when we come back after, I'll probably skip this next break, but as we come back to the second break, I'll be talking about the positive side of this, because it really does come into, you know, a little bit heavy on the negative behavior side on this. But here we go. So there's four highlighted communication behaviors. The first highlighted communication behavior is aggressive. You have an aggressive behavior when it comes to communicating. Now, remember, I'm doing the show today, doing my best to focus on the non-verbal aggressive behaviors, because I think the verbal aggressive behaviors are probably, we all probably have a pretty good common sense around that, right? But I'm going to talk about the aggressive behaviors. An aggressive communicator engages in personal attacks and put downs. They use intimidation to get their own needs met. Nonverbal behaviors, when it comes to aggression, is going to be frowning, critical glares, rigid posture, loud voice, fast speech, standing over others, slamming doors. Aggressive behavior. I have to admit, when I do a show and I talk about the emotional reactions that we go through, and I keep it simple, between the doormat and the bulldozer. I come from bulldozer land. That was my learning. That's like my baseline in the past. I believe we all have a baseline, and then we all have a little bit of everything in it. When I looked at this definition of aggressive, I thought, I come from aggressive, and then I moved into these other categories. You'll see these other ones that I talk about, but there's usually a core, you know, that initial emotional response. Are you an aggressive behavioral person? And how often does it come up for you? How many doors did you slam this week or this last month? How many times did you give somebody the look of intimidation to convey something to them? How many times did you bring some type of intimidating posture to the conversation? Not a positive posture, but kind of a rigid, tense posture. Do you convey aggressiveness in your behaviors? When you become frustrated, are you easy to be around? Not saying that we're not going to have moments. We get to be frustrated at times, and we get to be angry at times. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about more prolonged behavior. You know, is your go-to aggressive? And if it is, I just challenge you a little bit today. What are you doing to try to solve some of that? You know, are you a loud person? I did 25 years in debt collection before you got me here. And I would probably say when I got sober, I was probably 7 or 8 years in. Maybe 5 years into it, maybe. But before, so when in sobriety, we learn, you know, we have to have this faith and trust in a higher power. And was a real conflict for me, understanding new ways of communicating back then, because I had this spiritual like opening happening for the first time in my life. And yet my aggressive behaviors over the telephone with consumers who were trying to do the right thing, they needed a lot of rehab. Let's just put it that way. Stayed legal, stayed along the law, but the messages were definitely, tone of voice was off. I could never understand how somebody talked on the phone and they were quiet. So I had the loud voice thing going on. So we come from different behaviors that will dominate. So if aggression is one of yours, as it was one of mine, I will just tell you there's hope. I rarely see that person anymore show up for me. I'll say my inner person. She's in there. Don't get me wrong. She's in there. I like to say I keep her in my back pocket for special occasions, but rarely does she have to show up anymore. So there's always hope for healing around this. All right, what's the next one? Assertive. So out of all the ones I'm going to talk about today, and there's only four, this one is, I'm just going to give you the shortcut. This is the positive one. This is the one that you're hoping for. Assertive is the ability to express one's desires and feelings appropriately. I love the word appropriate. There's appropriate and there's inappropriate. There's appropriate behavior and there's inappropriate behavior. So assertive is the ability to express one's desires and feelings appropriately. This is the halfway point between passive and aggressive. And I'll be talking about the passive behavior here in a minute, but this is the halfway point between those. An assertive communicator respects both the sender of the communication, which is usually themselves, and the receiver. So we are aware of who we are talking to and how our words and how our behavior is impacting them. I'm not talking about paranoid delusion, so worried about what you think of me that I'm tiptoeing over every word I say. That's not what I'm talking about. That's probably in the next couple of behaviors here. No, this is more of a confidence, a healthy awareness of how my words are going to impact you. I have special attention to this around my children, although they would probably disagree with me on sometimes. But for the most part, I'm aware of how my words or how my behaviors may be impacting them in a particular communication, because I'm concerned, not in a fearful way, but they're still learning. They're not working with the same capacity of brain as I am. They don't have four decades of life experience under their belt. They barely have one and a half. So for me to place my, to just go blind into communication with my children and to assume that they're just supposed to deal with me, I think is vagrant and borderline abusive, in my opinion. So I really bring an awareness and assertive communication to my kids because I have respect for them. Same thing could be talked about if you're training others, if you're a trainer at work or you're a leader. Hopefully your behavior is assertive where it's healthy, appropriate communication about what you're needing in regards to the business. And so therefore you have a healthy impact on your employees, one of inspiration and influence versus one of resentment and hurt feelings. An assertive communicator respects both the sender and the receiver, the rights and opinions without being argumentative. An assertive communicator respects the rights and the opinions of the person who's listening without being argumentative. That's assertive. Okay. I got two more to go here. So hang in with, because you think about that. Have you ever communicated with somebody who becomes very aggressive with you just in expressing an opinion, or they become righteous and opinionated? Oh my God, politics are flashing through my head going through COVID, right? Like, what is that all about? But an assertive communicator understands and respects it. The assertive behavior is the least used out of all the behaviors I'm going to cover today. Remember, I said it was the most positive. This is like the goal behavior. It's the least used. Nonverbal behaviors of an assertive communicator: open and receptive body language, upright posture, relaxed movements, clear tone of voice, and appropriate eye contact. Appropriate eye contact. Okay, so that's assertive. And I'm gonna come back up to assertive when I get into the good of it. Okay, here's one more behavior for us. Passive. A passive communicator or a passive behavior involves not expressing one's thoughts or feelings and putting their needs last in an attempt to make others happy. Remember what I said, I'd probably be coming back to that whole, I'm going to overly analyze everything that comes out of my mouth for fear of it's going to hurt your feelings. I have a supernova awareness to the point of not authentically being myself because my fear of what you think of me is so important. Like it's actually a form of low self-esteem, but it involves, so let me read it again. Passive behavior involves not expressing one's thoughts or feelings because they're putting their needs last in an attempt to make others happy. Passive people internalize their discomfort to avoid conflict and to be liked by others. Passive behaviors, someone who has a passive behavior internalizes their discomfort to avoid conflict, where the worry is to be liked others. I remember at a time, mentoring and working with women in recovery for so many years, there's like weird seasons to that where I'd be, maybe dozen or so women working with me and they all check in at different times or doing whatever they're doing. And there's like seasons of experience. It'd be kind of funny. Like suddenly I'd be talking all the time about, really at the root of that is just a desire to be liked. At the root of giving in, at the root of, going along with something when I really don't want to, at the root of an inability to self-advocate, comes down to the fear of not being liked. It really was that simple. Many, many times when I would be working with women, and sometimes they would agree with me and sometimes they wouldn't. But by the time we got to talking, I would try to do my best to make it clear that a lot of our fear, especially if we have passive behavior, is simply we're fearful that somebody's not going to like us. Have you ever withheld for fear of it may not land right? Passive behavior, I would also say, is manipulative. Now you might think, well, passive behavior, manipulative, you might think a more of aggressive type hit, right? But think about it. If I'm always withholding my authentic opinions and I'm always withholding how I truly feel, maybe it's because I want you to like me, but aren't I actually trying to affect the outcome of this conversation to really fit the mold so I feel better? Isn't that really what I'm doing? When I withhold, when I authentically don't show up as myself, when I don't authentically self-advocate for myself, I am manipulating a conversation either out of fear that somebody's going to find out who I really am, out of fear that they're not going to like me, out of fear that they may not do what I want them to do. And that's all about me feeling better for me. Doesn't mean that that's going to work for me long term, but in the moment, when we withhold our authentic self, we do ourselves such a disservice. One, because we don't authentically honor and get to express our God-given self, our higher power-given self, whatever you want to say. But we're also affecting the other person. We're robbing them of opportunity to truly appreciate who we are. Yeah, I feel bad kind of for the passive folks. And I've been passive. This is another thing. When I was talking about, they all kind of go on their own. So I have been very passive professionally when working within a company. Very passive. So much on the line. Income, reputation, judgment, you know, ego, sometimes inward self-destructive ego, sometimes outward run into extremes ego, whatever. But passive is one of the ways that I got through it. Just withholding, not expressing. And unfortunately, I would love to blame my superiors for causing that environment. But at the end of the day, it's mine to learn from, it's mine to change, regardless of what others do. So what are some of the nonverbal behaviors of a passive individual? A very soft voice. When they speak hesitantly. They make themselves very small. You don't even know they're in the room. They are not the lack of participation, right? They fidget and they will avoid eye contact. They will avoid eye contact. So that's a passive behavior within communication. All right, what's the next one? This next one, I think I did a whole show on in the past. Passive aggressive behaviors. Oh, I bet you're all thinking to yourself, I know one of them. I know one of them. Yep, passive aggressive. Incorporates both passive and aggressive communication. So this is the in-between of passive and aggressive styles. Individuals appear passive. They appear passive, but act out their anger indirectly. I used to joke about one of my kids way back, this was many years ago. And I used to say, you got to watch out for that one. They might piss on your toothbrush. You know, you got to be careful. You know, when they're not expressing their frustration or they're not coming to you telling you the whole story and you sense some type of anger, like, you know, you're passive aggressive. I mean, aggressive is the right word. You know, passive aggressive. The show that I did on passive aggressiveness talked about passive aggressive feels like somebody is shaming you. The feeling is shame. Like I did something wrong, but I don't quite know what I did wrong because you're not telling me. Because a passive person doesn't express verbally. It's their actions and their behavior that's aggressive, right? So people who do this usually feel powerless, resentful, and they feel stuck. They feel stuck. They're stuck between maybe what somebody's not doing, so therefore their life isn't going to matter anyway. They feel stuck that they have no choice. This is my life, right? I mean, there's all these things, okay? Nonverbal behaviors of a passive aggressive person. They had asymmetrical posture. I don't even know what that is right now. I'm sorry I even mentioned it, but I guess I could Google that. Facial expression. Oh, man, flashback. You ever been with a passive aggressive person with that face they get? I mean, a face talks, you know, millions of miles. Like, you know, something's going on there. That look, it says that they are jerky and quick gestures. Their verbal behaviors, I went a little bit more into the passive aggressive because I think passive aggressive behaviors, now this is a total guess on my side, I would argue and then I'd have to find some research to back and support this argument, that I believe passive aggressive behaviors harm more intimate relationships and parental child relationships than anything. Aggressive behavior in my thought process would be more almost bordering on the abuse side, but passive aggressive comes across almost as if somebody's giving themselves permission to be aggressive by being passive. And it leaves the person, as I stated before, in a state of feeling ashamed of themselves or not having clarity on what's going on or why are you mad? Or it leaves this tension in the air. And I think that when it's in relationship with others, like we don't want to go all the way bad and be aggressive and come right out. So it's almost like this weird way of individuals trying to do their best with frustration when they're prone to a bulldozer core, is what I would say. So on this one, I went a little bit further with the passive aggressiveness because I'm going to go into some verbal behaviors of passive aggressiveness. Sarcasm. Okay, sarcasm would be a form of passive aggressiveness. Gossiping. Gossiping is a form of passive aggressiveness. You know, I love the saying, if you don't got nothing to say, you got nothing nice to say, don't say anything. I haven't walked a straight line on that myself, but I'm fully aware of it today. Gossiping is a passive aggressive behavior. Being unreliable is a passive aggressive behavior. Frequent complaining. Sulking, patronizing. Okay, those are verbal passive aggressive behaviors. Backhanded compliments, sarcastic backhanded compliments. Purposely ignoring or saying nothing. Boy, that's a tough one. The energy in the room is tense, but you're not going to talk at anything. You're going to completely purposefully avoid. I almost had it. We say it in recovery. I'll come back to it. But we purposely are avoiding and sulking in an angry way. Leaving someone out is passive-aggressive behavior. Being exclusive instead of inclusive. Or not being inclusive, but not giving a reasonable explanation as far as why somebody wasn't included. Muttering to oneself instead of confronting the issue. The under the breath comments, you know, not being able to help yourself with that. We think we're doing better by muttering, but the muttering is saying something to those around you that you are disappointed in something they're not doing right. And you're not going to confront it straight on for, you know, and I get that. That's that whole, I think I'm doing better by not confronting it straight on, but maybe I'm still doing as much damage by muttering it under my breath and making people worry without giving them any communication around my behavior. Hopefully that's making sense. The other thing with passive aggressive behavior is it leaves others confused, angry, and hurt. We hurt people's feelings when we're passive aggressive. And then I already said, I like to say that passive aggressive behavior shames you. It's insinuated that you're pissing me off, but I won't tell you that. But my behavior indicates I am disappointed in you. Doesn't it feel icky? Doesn't passive aggressiveness just feel icky? Okay, so having said that, now that I've got those out of the way, when I come back from break, we're going to see what is the good of it. So we've got what is the bad of it. We've got some understanding about what communicative behaviors are, how they're unique to each of us. Now I'm going to dive in when I come back from break. What's the good of it? What are the good behaviors in addition to the assertiveness? What are those like? So we will be back shortly. Hope you can tune back in. Be back.
You've been listening, but are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day, and we love to hear from you. Leave comments and questions for the host to address live, on the air, and get to know the faces behind the voices you love. Just go to Facebook and search for Transformation Talk Radio.
Yeah, yippee skippy.
You have one life to live. You want to spend it doing something you enjoy, and that has meaning. If you're listening to this, then you're among the many who feel that the work they're doing is no longer a fit. My comprehensive coaching will support you and help you figure it out. I've coached hundreds of people through career transition. Visit my website today to book a free call, www.reinventing-letteru.com, when what you do matches who you are.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Know Your Crazy Talk Show. My name is Susan Dene, and you are listening to Emotional Recovery in the Raw. Wrapping up with the show today on communication behaviors. If you've been joining me for the first almost whole show of 45, 50 minutes, then you are aware that I've been talking about the different unique behaviors that we can inherit, perhaps from our past, we picked up along the way. Perhaps we're in a habitual way of showing up in our family, in our intimate relationships. Understanding how to identify those behaviors sometimes goes a long way in changing the behaviors. I've talked about different examples of verbal and nonverbal behaviors, kind of leaning on the nonverbal behaviors. You know, who's slamming doors in the house? Who's temper tantruming but not saying anything? Who's not participating? You know, what are the nonverbal behaviors that we're conveying to the relationships in our life? Because we communicate a lot, not just verbally, but nonverbally, what are we saying to the relationships in our life? And then before I went to break, I went through the four highlighted communication behaviors, being aggressiveness. An aggressive communicator engages in different types of, well, aggressive behaviors, personal attacks, put downs, they use intimidation to get their way. Passive communicators. Involves not expressing one's thoughts or feelings and putting their needs last in an attempt to make others happy. Passive-aggressive, spent some time on the passive-aggressive behavior, which just simply is the in-between of passive and aggressive. But they appear passive, but their anger is indirect. In my opinion, passive-aggressive behavior is probably the most dominant in most relationships, in my opinion. I think that we've come a long way from, like I think there's been enough talk and enough understanding, maybe I could be completely wrong about this, where people maybe aren't as aggressive as they used to be, but they might be using passive aggressiveness as a license to still behave inappropriately. And then the last one was assertiveness, the ability to, and this is the one that we're all shooting for, by the way, the ability to appropriately express one's desires and feelings, the halfway point between passive and aggressive. An assertive communicator respects both the sender and the receiver's rights and opinions without being argumentative, and I will add, or emotionally damaging. It's an appropriate way to communicate. Now, so what is the good of it? What are the positive behaviors that we can be bringing to our relationships? Effective communication or positive behavior communication, you pick. Do you want to call this effective communication or positive behavior communication? I don't care. But one of the behaviors that is positive to put in your relationship is engaged listening. You know, when you're pausing to understand the emotions of whoever is sharing and then what they're attempting to convey, instead of worrying about what you're going to say, I do a whole workshop on defensive listening. But that's what this category is, engaged listening, being able to connect, to listen to the person's emotions. What are they trying to say without already preparing your response in your head while they're talking? So engaged listener is one positive behavior. Another one is just being aware of your own body language and what it's conveying. For example, And in fact, I was just doing it. I will often cross my arms and then I remind myself of flow of communication to kick in. What's next is, and so what is your body language conveying when you're in communication with somebody else? Is it defensive? Are you making eye contact? How's your tone of voice? Are you fidgeting? Are you looking over here when they're talking to you here? That's also in that workshop, by the way. But anyway, head nod in agreement is a positive behavior when you're in a communicative relationship. You know, when you're talking to somebody or they're sharing and you're just nodding your head in agreement or support, that you're hearing them. Like, did you just hear what I say? Or are you ignoring me over there? Like, is anybody home? Are you off at work still? Or are you present with me right now? And it doesn't mean they have to be present with you or that you have to be present with them. It's just nice to be able to acknowledge. If you're not able to be present with somebody, then tell them that. Have that appropriate assertive communication with them. Another positive thing to do in communication is smile. Give some smiles, you know? Let somebody know you're receiving them. Let them know that you're hearing them. That is a positive communication behavior. This one I thought was kind of funny, but thumbs up. And you know, actually, I do that sometimes. Maybe it's an emoji thumbs up. But don't you like giving somebody a thumbs up? Like, yeah, totally agree with that. That's all good stuff. Thumbs up. Energy of acceptance and patience. Being calm with somebody. Being patiently listening to them, doing your best not to interrupt, which simply says, let me talk now because I'm done listening to you. I want to get my two cents in. Are there opportunities where, or are there situations where you might have to let somebody know they're talking a little bit too long? Absolutely. But just in general, when listening and communicating with somebody, being patient and making sure that they're done talking before you interrupt. Responding versus reacting to somebody is another one. I think we learn this with time. It's kind of like thread in all of this positive behavior, just making sure that we're giving somebody enough bandwidth. And the last one, and I'm going to say this, well, two. And then I'm going to wrap up this show. Listen without giving opinions. Listen without giving input. Only give input if you're asked. That's a tough one for a lot of people. That's a tough one for a lot of people, especially you parents out there. Listen, offer feedback when asked. And the last one is my favorite, a positive behavior when it's appropriate. If you're in the professional world, this may not be appropriate. And if you're in AA, NA, or C or any of those programs, make sure it's an appropriate one. Hugging, a nice, positive, supportive hug will help. But if you got other ideas behind that hug, don't be doing it. I'm just saying that's not the behavior we're after. That's not the behavior. All right. So that is a wrap for today's show. So I encourage you today to take a look at your communication behaviors. What's working? What's not working? Do you need some help identifying any of those behaviors? Do you want to bounce this off somebody? If you are somebody who would like some of that bouncing off and you'd like to hire a coach, I'm your gal. Feel free to reach out to me on my website at susandanae.com. Would love to help. If any of this today resonated with you and you're looking to elevate the relationships in your life, or you're looking to find out where can I turn a corner in order to improve and to feel more satisfaction and joy, call me. I'd be more than happy to assist you. Having said that, have a great evening. See you next week.
You have been listening to Know You're Crazy.
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 And my name is Susan Danae. We are identifying, understanding, and treating your crazy one episode at a time. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com. To connect with me or Growth Spurt Your Life, please visit SusanDanae.com. That's SusanDanae, DENEE.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.